Hello, and thank you for listening to Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. And welcome to episode 6 of season 2 here on Weekend Warriors Hockey. Remember, if you have any show topic ideas or any feedback, please email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. I'm Austin, and joining me today are the Chief Executive Warrior, Rick Parisi, and our guest for this episode, a recent Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy camp attendee, Bobby Eggett. Rick and Bobby, how are you guys doing today?
I'm excellent.
Doing great.
Good, good. Excellent. And Bobby, thanks for joining us today. Rick, thanks. Good to see you again, as always. And just a reminder to folks out there, this is going to be part 2 of what we're hoping to be a 3-to-4-part series on the 2021 Atlanta camp. The idea is to give a little bit of a deep dive on a single camp from different perspectives. So last episode, I gave my perspective as a multi-time camp attendee. This week, we wanted to get perspective from a seasoned player, but a first-time camp attendee. And that's where Bobby comes in. So Bobby is a friend of mine who joined me in attending the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy camp in Atlanta, Georgia, just a few weeks ago in April and early May of 2021. A little bit about Bobby. He was born and raised in Toronto, Canada. He played minor hockey until the age of 14, coached his son's house league from age 6 to 12 years old, and picked back up with men's league hockey around the age of 30, and has been once a week player for the last 23 years. He has had no formal training as an adult until he attended the camp in Atlanta. But he did tell me as a Canadian that when you're born, the doctor takes your skates off and hands you to your mother. So he does have hockey in his blood. And welcome to the show, Bobby. How are you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic, Austin.
Good, good. So I wanted to get started just real quick and get your overall thoughts on the experience in Atlanta, you know, from perspective of value and coaching and execution. And then we'll kind of get a little bit deep dive into some of the other stuff as we go through. So what are your overall thoughts?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, I think that the fact that you had attended the camp multiple times and actually seeing you play on a weekly basis and seeing the improvement in your game and seeing what you physically were working at stick and pucks and things like that was intriguing to me. So when you brought up the idea of, listen, this is where I'm learning these things. This is where I'm learning like what to bring to the rink. This is why I prefer to come to a stick and puck over a pickup game. Because I learned a lot of things through Rick and the program, and it really gives me the tools to work on. And seeing you score more goals and your speed and your stride was probably the biggest reason why I was like, okay, hey, I'm in. I'm willing to give this a shot. So, you know, I think what happens is, you know, you get into the 40 over league when you're 40, and you're the Mario Lemieux. You got lots of speed and energy, and you're out there. And then you're the 53-year-old guy, and you're like, man, you know, these young 40-year-olds are moving. And I think for me, I was like, you know, if I want to play this game for another 10 or 15 years, what do I got to do? And one of the big things I knew I needed to do was efficiency. You know, when I look at guys that are 63, 64, 65, they don't use a lot of energy when they're striding. They're not wasting a lot of energy on the ice where, you know, I feel like, you know, I was probably using twice the energy to try to just keep up. So that was one of the things when I was going, I was like, you know, I want to be more efficient with the energy I have as a 53-year-old. And to tell you the truth, when I was thinking about the fear factor of coming to the camp, number one, it was, could I skate for 12 hours over 4 days? You know, I mean, is this going to be like Miracle on Ice and Herb Brooks is going to be out there yelling at me to skate, skate, skate? And, I would say that the team did an unbelievable job of not just balancing the ice time, 2 hours, 4 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours, but also making sure that the actual drills, the warm-up, the level of intensity of the drills were balanced to make sure you got through the time and you got through the time and energy where you were motivated to get back on the ice. And I think for that much ice time, for 12 hours of ice time over the course of 4 days, I think that it really allowed you to understand that you can do a lot more. You can give a lot more to this game, you know, than 1 hour a week. I think that a lot of people underestimate that 1 hour a week is actually, you know, a 50-minute game and you're on the ice for, you know, 20 of those and the play stop for half the time. Imagine you're going to go somewhere where for 12 hours, you're going to just be on the ice, improving your efficiencies, improving your game. And I think to me, that was the big one. That was the big one to me, Austin, was, you know, how I can be more efficient on the ice. I think that's the reason why I came to the camp was, you know, I wanted to see what this experience was. And I think, you know, we got there on day one, and I think that everybody introducing themselves, and, you know, I was fortunate enough that I was a few days away from getting my American citizenship. And when I announced to the team that I was getting my American citizenship, I got like a big ovation from the team. And I'll tell you, it was heartwarming. It was like, you know, I was like, listen, when you move to Florida and you're a Canadian, the first thing they assume is that you must be Gretzky. And I was not Gretzky. And but I felt a decent player. You know, I think I'm a good men's league player. And I thought with the amount of people that were in the room, that separating them into groups of six or groups of seven so that you really were with people of similar, you know, skill set was really perfect. And I think that we spent a lot of time working on what you can take home to work on. I mean, I was even in day two of the camp and I was like, I cannot wait to get to the next stick and puck. I cannot wait to get to the next stick and puck because I'm going to work on this little tip, this little trick. And I think when I looked at the quality of the coaching, first of all, having a Canadian experienced coach and then having somebody who's currently playing at the highest level and then having somebody who's reffed at the highest level, you're getting all these different perspectives and you're getting all of them to work with you. So I think that every time we trained to change the drill, we also had somebody else's mindset, somebody else's perspective. And I think that was important. And I think that people who think, oh, this would be a great time, I'm going to go and I'm going to have some fun. I think you could go and you could have a lot of fun, but you also are going to be, you know, the dictator of your own success in this camp. I mean, if you go there with the right attitude, I was taking notes in the dressing room. Like, you know, I want to work on this drill. This is the two things that the coach has told me to really look at. And I think that was important for me. I think that when I left the camp, knowing that if I can improve in these four areas, they're tangible, they're measurable, that I will be a better player. And I think that coming back from the camp, I was super motivated. And after 12 hours of ice time, you wouldn't think that you and I would get back to Florida on Sunday night. And I was at the Monday morning stick and puck so that I could like work on these things. And I went to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, played a game Wednesday night, and then did pickup Thursday, Friday. So it was like, there was no problem with the feet being sore. It was like the mental motivation.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. I noticed that too. The mental part is, to me, has at the camps has been tricky because you are learning new things. You're also learning, you're hitting on those things that you avoid when you're playing pickup and other things like that, edges and stuff like that. And it is mentally hard on some of these drills, when you isolate things to get your brain right, you know, and I think I mentioned on the last podcast, or I mentioned it to somebody else, but you know, we would work on a drill and then they would say, all right, now we're going to work our arms into it. And you're thinking, oh, that's easy. We walk all the time and we swing our arms. What happened, Bobby, when we started working our arms into it?
Yeah. You realize that you know, you look like a stroke victim out there. No, and I'm telling you, they had me on video. I tapped Austin and I said, Austin, is that a stroke victim out there? I didn't even remember having that. But yeah, it is some things that are so simple. Yeah. But again, you talk about avoidance. You know, like I said, I score a fair amount of goals, but I score them the same way. They're in front of the net. They're a little bit just like grinding kind of goal. Yeah. You come to camp and you realize it's because you don't have a good shot. So you know that's probably how you're going to score. And when I talked to them and I said, this is my game, and then getting ready to just say, hey, listen, if you're 4 feet out, but you take the shot this way and you really use that top hand to pull it in and snap that puck. And once I got it, then it was like 15 pucks in a row, snap, snap, snap. And it can change the dynamics of how you think. Cause I think as a player on the ice, you're going to do what you're used to doing. You know, I mean, to me, it's a lot like my golf game. I've played golf for 25 years and I still shoot 110. It's cause I play exactly the same way I always played for 25 years. This is those lessons on how to improve. When you say, hey, I want to take 15 strokes off my golf game, you're not going to just keep doing the same thing. You're going to go get golf lessons. And then you're going to go to the driving range. And to me, this was the same. This was like, look, go and get the 12 hours of lessons And after these lessons, go back home and then utilize them in the stick and puck, bring them to game action. And this is how you're going to improve your overall game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I truly believe that if you go to camp and then you just go back to playing your men's league one night a week for the next year, I don't think you'll significantly improve. But if you go and you actually work on these things, isolate some edge drills and shooting and what have you, some of the exercises and drills that you run at the camp, you will get better. There's no doubt.
The other thing is, I would really challenge anybody. If you would like to have more energy on the ice without having to go to the gym, without having to work out, without having to eat healthier, just always doing what you're doing, they will teach you how to be more efficient with your energy. And I think that the efficiency of the energy is the key to keeping up as you get older. And I think that to me was what I walked away with. I could skate faster using less energy and be more prepared to score that goal in the third period. And I left energized feeling that was a possibility.
Hey, Bobby, that's really, I was just going to say, like, I'm really appreciating the enthusiasm that Bobby has for the camp and the game. And it's, you know, I hear that a lot from players that are new to the game, but, you know, here's a guy who's been playing for about 30 years or, you know, maybe more than half his life. And, you know, the energy that he came out of camp with, you know, is kind of cool to hear. So, it's great. Thank you.
And if you were to go to Stick and Puck and there's another guy that we skate with a lot, named Tony, and Bobby is just running Tony into the ground with all these drills. And it's not just, you know, skating circles around him. They're isolating, you know, single leg inside it, you know, C cuts or, you know, some stick handling things that we learned, and he's running Tony through the ringers on it. And Tony himself is excited and I'm hoping he's able to get up to a camp, this year, but I know he's mentioned trying to come to one next year. So that enthusiasm, has not left Bobby, trust me, in the few weeks since we've been gone. So, I, just like you, Rick, I love to see it. That's why, you know, what made me interested in this, you know, platform that we talk about these things is just people's, enthusiasm for hockey. So,
yeah.
Okay. So kind of dovetailing off of all that, Bobby. So you kind of mentioned the ways that you thought camp helped you, especially with efficiency and things like that. As you've come back, what would you say if there's a specific, whether it's drill or element that we worked on, would you say is your biggest challenge facing you right now as you try to improve as a hockey player?
I would say trying to get the skill level to where I know it could be, and realizing that you really got to start sometimes at a rudimentary spot. You know, you talked about engaging the arms with the legs. It's hard to go for some people to a stick and puck for an hour and never touch the puck and actually never use the stick. But yeah, that's what it takes. You're going to come back and say, hey, I'm going to be able to get this C cut, or I'm going to transfer from skating forwards to backwards. I'm going to utilize the skills I learned at the camp, and I've got an hour to do it. And you were talking about our friend Tony. I said, look, they call it stick and puck, but we're not going to use either one, Tony, because we don't have the fundamentals when it comes to changing direction, skating, utilizing the length of our stride. And that's what we're working on today. And to me, that's what it is. It's understanding that at the stick and puck, you need to commit. You know, one thing I found at the camp was, and I've had a few times at a stick and puck where I worked with somebody who was really good for a half an hour, where they did five different events for you and over the course of a half an hour, and you're really doing none of them well. I found that at the camp, we worked for 30 minutes on something, and then 10 minutes the next shift, 10 minutes the next, 10 minutes. And at the end, you were like, hey, I can do this. I've got this. And at the same time, not only are you doing it, because sometimes with you in isolation on the rink, you don't get to see the other 15 people. When you see the guy beside you, get it. You see the light go on in his head and suddenly he's doing the drill and you're like, I just saw what he did. I got it. Or the guy beside you saying, hey, listen, you know, you're doing a great job keeping your head up. Or you see people pushing themselves. And even when they take a fall, you hear the tap on the ice of like, we know you're giving it 100%. I think those are the key fundamentals.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, what does keep you motivated to keep doing this? I mean, you mentioned you're in your 50s, you got young kids, you got a job, you have all this stuff, but you do spend a lot of time at the rink. So what is it that keeps motivating you?
I think number one, I love the camaraderie. I think that when they use the word beer league, I think what they're really saying is you want to play with a group of guys that you really appreciate. And after having a great game and having some fun, that you can go and you can talk about that game over a course of a beer. I don't want to give up that camaraderie. I don't want to become the spectator. I want to continue to be the person that enjoys the game and enjoys the camaraderie after the game. And I think the camp did a really good job. You know, we had the one night we all went out for beer after we were done. We had the night we all went out. I mean, the dinner was fantastic. Everybody was just talking about the camp and hockey and their experiences. And I think that's the biggest one for me. And at 53, I'm looking at guys in my league at 63 that are efficient, good, solid hockey players that, you know, are going to be able to play for a long time. And to me, I know that this is the time that if I get better, I will be that guy 10 years from now, still enjoying the ice.
Yeah, you definitely, you know, as we get older, you got to do it now. There's tomorrow will be there, but, you know, it's the days become shorter, if you will. So, okay. Well, Rick, is there anything you want to add to any of that stuff or any questions you want to ask Bobby specifically?
I mean, he's answered so much and really brought out a lot. I really think it's cool that, you know, the passion he has and is bringing to this and Bob, you're very observant of many of the things that, you know, we purposely try to implement, right? And like you've just picked up on things like, you know, the focus on the skills and the amount of time spent and then going back to your rink. You know, I mean, there are things that, you know, you can learn at camp and be like, oh, that's how you do that. And now you can do it. But, you know, so much of it is, oh, that's how you do that. Now I gotta practice that and get it into muscle memory. And you know, some people are willing to do that and some people aren't. But it's awesome that you have that energy and that enthusiasm to take it back to your rink and get better, because, you know, it makes the game more fun. And like you said, the efficiency is something that people overlook a lot. You know, the fact that, you know, you have an inefficient stride, and so maybe you can keep up with that faster guy in the first period because you're taking more strides, but by the third period, you've blown all your energy and you can't do anything. So it's being able to do that for, you know, three periods and the efficiency of your stride and all that is really important. So I'm glad you picked up on all that. Really cool. Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to tell you the truth, the fact that you have, you know, players of all different level, it's inspirational. It's inspirational to see a guy who's 2 months in and says, hey, I want to be at this camp. And that you find a way to isolate people into groups where they're playing with like-minded people, but they're also looking at guys saying, hey, that used to be me, you know, and to be able to give somebody a tap on the butt and say, listen, don't give up. You're here for a reason. You're doing great. We can see the improvement. And to know that you're inspiring somebody at the same time, I think this is fantastic. And some of those younger guys, they were very quick to say, hey, when I see you guys in your 50s out here at this camp who already know how to play the game, it's telling me that I've got 25 or 30 years in front of me. I'm super excited.
Yeah, that's really cool thing about camp too, is everybody's so supportive. So you have, you know, you kind of have both ends of the spectrum and then everything in between. But, you know, those beginners are the ones that are sometimes afraid to go out. And, you know, I wish I could convey it enough. If I have a conversation with somebody, I can, but, you know, putting it on the website, we have a page for it on our website for new players, but making them understand that, look, even if you're a novice, you can come out. First of all, we're going to group you with people of similar ability, like you mentioned, but, even if you're playing with someone of a better ability, you know, those people are going to be supportive because they remember when they were there, right? Like, it's like, absolutely. Oh yeah. And the supportive nature of the camp and the environment. And then at, you know, at the upper end where players like you that have been playing, you know, a lot of guys would be like, oh, you know, I'm good enough. Who cares? Like, you know, I can play hockey and, you know, I don't need to get any better. And if that's your attitude, you know, it's probably not the kind of person that, you know, is going to want to come to camp, spend, you know, $800 and take a whole weekend off of work and all that stuff. But, you know, the guys that realize like, yeah, like I'm a decent hockey player, but you know, Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid work on their skating probably every day, right? Like they can get better. So if they can get better, all of us can get better, right? And it's something we need to work on. And the guys that come with that attitude are the ones that, you know, really enjoy the camp and get the most out of it.
Yeah, I would say, and if you went to the camp and you enjoyed it and you're playing men's league hockey, you're spending $15 on beer after the game. You're updating your equipment. You're buying that $100 stick. I mean, now's the time to just look and say, you know what? I'm going to put $20 a week away, and once a year I'm going to a camp to make sure that my game is the best it can be. And I think that that's a real simple way to look at it, but you're really just investing in, you know, in yourself. And I think that you'll be able to see the improvement if you get committed that way.
Yep.
Cool. And we've seen, you know, that hockey is a sport. You know, if there are 20-year-olds out there listening, you know, Bobby and I both see it, and Rick does too. There's guys in their 70s that we play with that just come out and play. And it's a sport you can play your whole life. It's pretty low impact, non-checking leagues. You're not really going to get hurt. But man, you can't go out and play, you know, basketball your whole life. Your body will eventually break down. You can't go out and be a soccer player all your life. I did that. And at 40, I couldn't do it anymore. Just too much of a pounding. Hockey, you know, you can go out, you can get an excellent, you know, aerobic workout. And, you know, you can carry it into your 60s and 70s, you know. So it's definitely one of those things that you can invest in, and it's an investment in your own health. It's an expensive investment, but you certainly can do it. So
yeah, but there's way cooler gear in hockey though.
Wait, oh man, it's the best.
Like what do you
it's
got in best. Soccer? You got soccer, a pair of shoes and a ball?
I got a pair of shoes. I got the best ball out there. But all right, well, hey Bobby, so I'll throw one last opportunity out there. Anything else that we didn't ask you about that you wanted to talk about before we kind of turn it over to Rick and see what's going on with the camps?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, one of the things that I probably don't do on a regular basis that now coming back from the camp that I do is just a proper warm up. And I think understanding that, you know, you've just been on the ice like 6 hours and the first thing you're going to do when you get out there is this warm up, but it's a warm up that's working on engage the outside edge, engage the inside edge, get the wrists moving, get the blood flowing. And it's building a routine before you start the activity. And I think that my routine was getting to the rink 5 minutes before throwing the equipment on and jumping into the first shift. And I really saw value of the process of warming up before you start the activity. And the guys gave us simple tools to be able to understand why you're warming up, how you're warming up. And it's not firing your leg up on the boards and doing some big crazy stretch. It really is. Get the ankles ready, get the edges ready, get the wrists ready, get, you know, the body ready. Because the game is coming and you want to be prepped and ready. And I think that that was an important takeaway, regardless of your level, that get to the rink 10 or 15 minutes earlier than you used to, so that when you step on the ice, you're ready to give yourself a proper warm-up and you're ready to engage.
Yeah, and even a lot of the stuff we did, if you isolated to off the rink before you even get skated, it's all... you know, movements that you need, you kind of do. You're not, it's not that magic leg stretch, I think is what Rob calls it, where you throw your leg up on the board and that solves everything when it comes to warming up in hockey. So, it's active stretching as you're getting ready. So some of those, a lot of those that we do out there, you can do the wrist stuff before you even get on the ice. You know, you can do some lunges and some things like that, before you even get out there. And you're right. It does help. We're not getting any younger. And you know, the older you get, the better off you are if you're a little bit limber when you get on the ice. So, all right, before we go to Rick, I do have to tell everybody, tonight at 10:30, my team faces Bobby's team in the first round of the playoff at the Space Coast Iceplex. It's like what seeds, like fifth and sixth seed or something like that. So I'm confident we're going to win. I'm sure Bobby's confident they're going to win, but, I'll give an update on the next episode as to who won that game. But
yeah, he's confident he's going to win. I will tell you. Sometimes, you know, you can be humbled. I think tonight might be one of those days. I just went to the camp. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to win.
Yeah.
I didn't leave the camp wondering how to get a participation medal.
Yeah, it was. I'll draw an analogy. So a couple of weeks ago when the Panthers were smoking the Lightning in the last two games of the season, everything looked like the Panthers might roll over the Lightning. But after two games, it doesn't look like that. So I'm hoping we're the Lightning equivalent and Bobby's the Panthers, because they smoked us last week. So yeah, maybe tonight we'll turn the tables on. Yeah, so.
For sure. You guys learned some trash talking at camp, huh? I see that.
Hey, but I would say one last thing I would say, though, if you see a destination you really want to go to and you're like, hey, I would love to go here and they're having a camp, build a couple extra days on the end of your trip. The camp is jam packed. This is not a vacation. This is not where you're going to go and like be able to spend afternoons exploring community. But it's a great way that you could say, hey, you know what? I'm going to have the wife and kids meet me on Sunday afternoon. And when we're done, we're going to stay Monday and Tuesday. And I think that would be a great way to do it. Or get into town on Wednesday and spend a couple of days, you know, checking out the area, because, you know, you are going to be on the ice working hard. Your brain is going to be going a million miles an hour, remembering all the things and saying to yourself, I can't wait to get back on the ice. You're going to be meeting new friends and new people, and you're going to want to be engaged with them. The evening activities are super fun and engaging. So I would just say put something on the beginning or end of your trip if you want to explore a destination, and get out there and then take full advantage of the camp.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, so Friday night's about the only time you have off. And I know Bobby and I have grabbed some dinner and we were mentally already fried halfway through the camp. So we took it easy. It's definitely not a vacation when you go do it. So, all right, awesome. Well, thanks, Bobby. I'm going to turn it over to Rick. Anything you want to talk about with your Lake Tahoe camp, which happened May 13th, 13th through the 16th? Anyway, it was in May.
Yep. Yeah, we just got back. Sunday was ended on Sunday, and it was... great camp. It was a double camp. So we had two separate groups. So, similar to where you guys broke, we still break down within each group, but we kind of had like a novice intermediate group and then an intermediate advanced group. And then within them, we still broke down into our smaller groups. But, it was, I think we had like 68 people in all. Awesome. So it was pretty busy, and, we had some beautiful weather, and Lake Tahoe is always gorgeous. And so we got a couple weekends off here, which I'm going to enjoy. And then we head to Buffalo. If anybody is interested in a camp that does not have a lot of people in it, and wants a lot of attention, go to the Buffalo camp. We only have like 12 or 13 skaters right now. We got 5 goalies, but only 12 or 13 skaters. Part of that is because of the border closure. We used to have a lot of people from Southern Ontario go to the camp, and that's obviously not happening this year because the border's still closed. So if any of you U.S. people want to get a good camp experience, that would be a great opportunity. The weekend after that, we're in Cape Cod, and it's our first time. We've always called it our Boston camp, and we've kind of moved it around the greater Boston area, and now I guess we're far enough away from Boston that we need to call it Cape Cod, because that's where it is. So, and that one is actually filling up pretty good. So, and then we go to Vail at the end of June.
Excellent. Yeah. And for those listening, just with the, bear in mind with the schedule and Rick and Rob and whomever traveling, the episodes might get a little, less, a little less frequent or a little odd timing here. So we might try and get another one in next week before they're off for a couple weeks with back-to-back camps. But we do hope to bring you a couple more on the Atlanta camp. And again, look forward to Rick having some more success with the upcoming camps. So that'll be, you've already done 3 and you've got 14 total, right? So,
right.
Okay. Right. Yep. So almost a fifth of the way through, I guess, at this point. So a well-oiled machine, the Buffalo Cape Cod camps are going to be awesome. So, okay. Well, Bobby, anything else you want to throw out there? One last chance?
No, looking forward to getting a couple of the guys from our team. They're motivated to come to a camp. So we're looking at, where we're going to go. And I will guarantee you that we will be putting a day on either side of the camp, because, that way we can have the best of all worlds. But Rick, in all sincerity, you're running a first-class camp as somebody who'd never been to one before. I think there's huge value for what you're paying, for what you're getting. I think I could see the reason why you have so many returnees to the camp. And, and if you don't have to be serious about your game to say, hey, can I get my game 20% better? Can I get more efficient with my game? Could I have more fun, and could I play longer? And if those are yeses, then, put a few dollars away every week and get a little fun going and get to a camp. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bobby. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Rick, anything before we close out?
Just a big thank you to Bobby for coming on the podcast and telling his story and really appreciate him taking the time. Thanks, Bobby.
Yours. Thanks, Bobby. Yeah, we'll see you on the ice tonight. So maybe you won't warm up properly.
I want a full report. I want a full report of this game. Yeah. Absolutely. Do you guys have live burn? Maybe instead of watching the NHL playoffs tonight, I'll watch you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. That's torture, Rick. You should not put yourself through that.
So, yeah, you're right about that.
All right. Yeah. Thanks so much, Bobby. Again, we'll see you tonight, buddy.
And, all right.
Rick, thanks for joining. As always, we hope everyone enjoyed the episode. If you do have topics for the show or you do have any questions, please contact us. Shoot an email to info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. You can also go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if that works easier for you. We love to read any responses or listener questions on the air. Go ahead and share us if you're already a subscriber and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the podcast and you want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard at improving each time you're out on the ice.